Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As-salamu alaykum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimuhullah. Today we have reached hadith 34, whoever of you sees an evil.
Al-hadith al-rabi'u wa-thalathun. An Abi Sa'idin al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, qal, Sami'tu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadih, fa'in lam yastati' fabilisanih, fa'in lam yastati' fabiqalbih. وذلك أضعف الإيمان رواه مسلم.
On the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu an, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever of you sees an evil must then change it with his hand. If he's not able to do so, then he must change it with his tongue. And if he's not able to do so, then he must change it with his heart. And that is the slightest effect of Iman, or, and that is, the weakest of faith. Recorded by Muslim. This hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, addresses one of the most important issues for success of the Muslim community, and that is the enjoining of good and the forbidding of evil. For this is one of the characteristics that separates the Muslim community from the previous communities. In this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has made it clear that removing evil or wanting to remove evil is an essential characteristic of the true faith of a Muslim. This hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, shows a believer's attitude towards evil. A believer is never willing to accept or be pleased with an evil. Whenever evil is in front of him or her, he or she will oppose it and do his best to remove it according to his abilities. The first part of the hadith,
من رأى منكم منكرا.
Whoever of you sees an evil. So my dear brothers and sisters, if a Muslim witnesses an evil being committed in front of him, then it is obligatory upon him to change it if they have the ability to do so. Many scholars also understand this portion of the hadith to also include knowledge instead of specifically seeing. In other words, if one knows for certain that an evil is occurring, he must work to remove it, even if he does not see the evil at that moment. It is sufficient that he has the knowledge that it is occurring. That knowledge requires that he remove that evil. At the same time, my dear brothers and sisters, we must be careful, as it is not allowed to have unwarranted suspicions about others or to spy on others. If a person simply suspects, without any strong evidence, that some evil is occurring, it is not his right to interfere in someone else's private affairs and uncover the matter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tajassasu, do not spy on one another," as is found in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Now the question presents itself, my dear brothers and sisters, what is munkar? Munkar, my dear brothers and sisters, in a general sense, is everything that is rejected from a sharia or rational point of view. However, its meaning in the expression ordering good and eradicating evil, or munkar, is that which is rejected or objected to by the sharia. In other words, there may be some acts that the people do not consider good, but if the sharia has allowed such acts, they may not be considered munkar and are not required to be removed. Now, as for the opposite of munkar, it is ma'ruf, and it is a word that implies every act of obedience to Allah, and every act that takes one closer to Allah, whether it be obligatory or recommended. Its meaning also has the sense that they are deeds that people accept and are pleased with, and that people can have no objection to. And my dear brothers and sisters, the point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only mentioned the changing of evil in this narration. Whoever sees an evil must change it. However, when an obligatory deed is not performed, that is also an evil. And the only way to remove that evil is by commanding or ordering of the performance of that obligatory deed. So in a sense, my dear brothers and sisters, this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also covers aspects of ordering good and not simply only the eradicating of evil. My dear brothers and sisters, the essence of the Islamic da'wah is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Since whenever a person conveys the message, he is enjoining good and forbidding evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in many ayat about enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, such as in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 104, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
Let there arise of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining ma'ruf and forbidding al-munkar, and it is they who are the successful. Allah also says in ayah 110 of Surah Ali Imran,
كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ.
You are the best of peoples ever raised for mankind. You enjoin al-ma'roof and you forbid al-munkar and you believe in Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, has made this ummah special because it enjoins good and forbids evil, unlike the people of the book. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined commanding good and forbidding evil upon them, but they failed to fulfill this requirement. Consequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. He says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 78 and ayah 79,
لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا
Those among the children of Israel who disbelieved were cursed by the tongue of Dawood or David and Isa, Jesus, son of Maryam or Mary. That was because they disobeyed Allah and the messengers and were ever transgressing beyond bounds. They used to not forbid one another from the munkar, meaning the wrong, evil doing, sins, and disbelief which they committed. So my dear brothers and sisters, Allah cursed them as a result of that, meaning He evicted and expelled them from His mercy, and He praised those who enjoin good and forbid evil from among them. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ.
Not all of them are alike. A party of the people of the scripture stand for the right. They recite the verses of Allah during the hours of the night, prostrating themselves in prayer.
يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ الصالحين.
They believe in Allah and the last day. They enjoin al-ma'roof, meaning Islam and following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and forbid munkar, meaning disbelief and opposing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So my dear brothers and sisters, not all the people of the book abandoned enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Some of them carried it out, and Allah never wrongs anyone. Likewise, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah enjoined this ummah to enjoin good and forbid evil, since this brings about and implies rectifying the society as a whole. For as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, sins and acts of disobedience are causes of destruction and ruin, and the cure for that is by enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. The next part of the hadith,
فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ,
then he must change it with his hand. Change it, my dear brothers and sisters, means to remove it. And removing an evil is a fard kifaya, is a communal obligation. If a Muslim or a group of Muslims repels the evil, the rest are absolved from any responsibility. However, if none of them repel the evil, although it was within their ability to do so, they are all sinful. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, this obligation can become an individual obligation, meaning a fard ayn. That is, it can become obligatory upon a specific person. For example, if a certain person is the only one who has knowledge of a certain evil, or if he is the only one who has the ability to remove that evil, then it becomes obligatory upon him to act to remove that evil. If he does not do so, he as an individual will be sinful. Then, my dear brothers and sisters, the means to removing it, however, depends on one's ability. It should be done by one's hand if possible. If not, then by one's tongue or speech. Then finally, the last option, by one's heart. Now this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, is specifically or particularly talking about the changing of evil and not the forbidding of evil. This hadith is referring to the case where one is actually witnessing or aware of an evil that is currently happening. It is his obligation to put an end to that evil at that time. Now the forbidding of evil is a more general concept that also includes preventive measures to keep an evil from recurring. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, changing the evil by one's hand has conditions, which include the following. One, like all praiseworthy and noble actions or deeds, the person must change the evil solely for the sake of Allah. So he must have sincerity. He should not be simply responding to what someone else has done to him or have the intention of harming or embarrassing someone. The second condition that must be followed is that he must follow the Sharia principles when changing an evil, in the sense that he cannot remove one evil by bringing about a greater evil. First, he must study the situation to make sure whether or not his action will lead to a greater harm. If he feels that the only way he can stop a particular evil is by doing something that will lead to a greater harm, then he is not allowed to stop that evil. The third condition is that he must make sure that the evil is in fact present and is in reality an evil that deserves to be removed or stopped. It should not be merely a case of suspicion or unfounded accusations. The fourth condition of changing an evil by one's hand is that he must not go beyond what is permissible for him in the Sharia. He must stop at what is necessary to stop that evil. And the fifth condition of changing an evil by one's hand is that he should personally remove the evil if he has the ability or right to do so. If not, he should assist someone who is capable of removing it. Wallahu a'lam. The next part of the hadith,
فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ,
and if he's not able to do so, then let him change it with his tongue. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the most important means of changing an evil is changing it with one's tongue. If one has the ability and right to change something by one's hand, he should do so. However, if one does not have such a capability, he should move to the next step. And the next step is to use one's speech to influence the doers of evil to stop their evil. So my dear brothers and sisters, when stopping evil with our tongue, we should inform the doer of evil that they are actually performing this evil. A sinner may be told, for example, someone like you should not perform such and such an evil that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they accept his advice, alhamdulillah. But if they are warned and advised about their action and they do not stop, then we should remind the person of Allah and remind them to fear Allah. The person should be reminded of his coming death and how awful it would be to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala committing such an evil act. Also, the person should be reminded that he's being advised out of brotherly love and care that all Muslims should have for each other. In this way, he'll be more likely to listen to the words of advice. And in general, my dear brothers and sisters, this approach is taken with respect to those people who are well aware of the Sharia ruling concerning the act they are performing. And it is based upon the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, invite Muhammad onto the way of your Lord with hikmah, meaning the arguments of the Quran and Sunnah and beautiful admonishments. And this ayah is found in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 125. Hence the person, my dear brothers and sisters, should quote ayat from the Quran and hadith from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam concerning the act that he is performing. Should also encourage the person to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah's forgiveness for this deed that he is committing. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, if the above approaches are not effective, one moves to the next level of harsh speech. However, before moving on to harsher actions, one must truly size up the situation. One must be certain that his new actions will not lead to more harm. One must also be certain that he is not taking a harsher approach simply for his own benefit. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the general rule is one of kindness and polite speech. For even when Allah directed the great prophets Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam to go to the great tyrant Fir'aun, he stated, go both of you to Pharaoh, verily he has transgressed. And speak to him mildly or gently. Perhaps he may accept this admonishment or reminder and fear Allah. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, at the same time, some people seem to think that polite speech is the only way. However, this is not the case. For some people, kindness and polite warning and advice does not have an effect whatsoever. They will only be moved and affected if they are dealt with in a harsh and harder manner. So the sinner, for example, should be told something like, beware of Allah. Don't you have any fear of Allah? Are you ashamed to be doing such and such a sin? And so on and so forth. However, the advisor must refrain from cursing the person or using words that are deemed inappropriate by the Sharia. And the final part of the hadith,
فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ.
And if he is not able to do so, then with his heart, and that is the weakest of faith. My dear brothers and sisters, if a person is not able to remove evil with his tongue, he must remove it with his heart. Evil is never to be accepted. One should never be pleased with it, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone is required to change the evil around him or her. If a person cannot change the evil with his hand or his speech, he must then change it with his heart. And this might be all that a person can do. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was quoted as saying, soon those who live among you will see evil, and he will not be able to do anything other than have Allah know that he hates it. My dear brothers and sisters, everyone has different capabilities when it comes to changing evil. Some have the ability to change it with their hands, while others do not have that ability. Those that do not have that ability are not sinful due to their shortcomings. Similarly, there are some who have the ability to change things with their speech, while others may not have that ability. However, there is one level concerning which everyone is capable. Nobody is excused when it comes to this level, and this is the level of changing the evil with one's heart. And for this changing of evil with one's heart, there are two requirements upon a Muslim with respect to his heart and evil. First, he must change it with his heart, as mentioned in this hadith. Second, he must fight it or struggle against it with his heart, as mentioned in the hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is no prophet that was sent to a nation before me except that he had from his nation helpers and companions that would follow his way and implement his orders. Then came afterwards generations that would say what they did not do and do what they did not say. Whoever struggled against them with his hand is a believer. Whoever struggled against them with his tongue is a believer. And whoever struggled against them with his heart is a believer. Beyond that, there is no faith, even equivalent to the amount of a mustard seed. And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, as for love, hatred, want, and dislike in the heart, it must be complete and definitive. One will only find a shortcoming in that aspect if there is a shortcoming in iman itself. However, the action of the body are according to one's ability. If the want of the heart and its hatred is complete and perfect, and the person acts accordingly, given his ability, he will be given the reward of the person who performs the act completely, even if he did not perform the act because he did not have the ability to do so. My dear brothers and sisters, although we don't have the time to go into it in any detail, there are many negative consequences for not repelling evil. As we mentioned before, not eradicating evil has been a source of cursing by the prophets, as we mentioned regarding Bani Israel or the tribe of Israel. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, other negative consequences for not ordering the good and forbidding the evil is that it's a reason to be punished and also a reason for dua to not be accepted. As the Prophet ﷺ has said, by the one whose hand is my soul, you must order good and forbid evil, or Allah will soon send upon you a punishment from himself, and then you will supplicate to him and he will not respond to you. My dear brothers and sisters, to summarize and conclude, a true Muslim should never be comfortable and accept to be around the presence of an evil. It is an obligation upon him to remove that evil when he has the ability to do so. We also learn from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that if the Muslim does not have the ability to remove the evil with his hand, or removing it would lead to a greater evil, then he must try to remove the evil with his speech. We also learn from this hadith that if he is also not able to remove the evil with his speech, then he can only resort to removing the evil with his heart, and that is the least manifestation of faith with respect to evil. Wallahu alam. And with that, we conclude today's lesson. Barakallahu fikum wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.